How hard should you push your kids in sports and in life? We discuss. Next, we get into a controversial topic and talk about marijuana legalization. And with our new format, we end the show with our movie review of Silver Linings Playbook. All that and more tonight on the Lazy Dogcast. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 16 of the Lazy Dog Cast.
Lazy Dog.
We're back. My name's Dave, here with Matt and Colin, and we got a good show for you tonight. But first, some announcements, some housekeeping things. Right? We're busy. Fathers, busy life, kids, all that stuff. Colin is starting some high school football coaching right around the corner, which means he's going to be real busy. So we got to change up our recording schedule. And with that, we're going to change the format of our episodes just a bit. So instead of every episode having a movie review and...
What is that? Oh, that's a bug?
Somebody's getting lit up.
Oh, dog. Dude, you leave that in, bro. That was a...
You got yourself a titan.
Jeez, yeah, dude.
The titan of the bugs came in.
Dude, what was that? Some dude, massive
that was like like a caterpillar that got the whole body.
Yeah. I thought like the headphones were like static or something.
I thought at first someone was like opening a door and then just kept going. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, bug zapper off in the corner like... This will just fry the biggest
that was
bug
a
in
banger,
history.
Dude.
Amazon Prime Day, dude.
Amazon Prime Day. Anyway, so what I was saying is that we're going to, instead of every episode having a movie review and a top five, we're going to have a movie review or a top five. So this episode today, episode 16, we're going to have our normal banter at the beginning, followed by the movie review. And then the next week's episode is going to have more banter like always. Yeah. Yeah. Followed by a top five.
Everyone still gets all the gravy.
Just split out a little bit.
Split out a little bit. It's all right? Good.
Smaller, we got to...
Smaller meal sizes.
Yeah. We got to take advantage of our time together to get as many episodes done as possible. So anyway, that's only going to affect you if you're a longtime listener. So if that's you, comment down below that you're a longtime, you're an OG listener. Speaking of comments, Matt, what's our comment of the week?
Comment of the week, dude.
Comment of the week. I'm going back to TikTok here.
Who are you putting in the doghouse?
In the doghouse this week, we are going with... We were talking about Tales from the Crypt and Are You Afraid of the Dark? Yes. When we were children, why those should never have been shows we watched.
Yeah, 100%.
And Mr. Biggs commented, looking at Nancy Pelosi reminds me of the Tales Crypt Keeper.
Dude, gold star, star.
Shout out to Mr. Biggs. Good, that's a good one.
Hey, he's not in the dog pen. He's not in the dog.
He didn't roast us, but I'm like,
get him up on the bed, dude. Get him up on the bed.
I like that.
So. That's
shout
a good one.
Mr. Yeah. Biggs.
Oh, that's
nice.
Funny.
Yeah. So if you want to get featured on the comment section, you, of course, have to comment below. Also like the video. Subscribe if you're new. All the good stuff.
Subscribe, rate, review. Coming to you next.
All the good stuff. Well, that's going to lead us into... another new segment called Colin's Corner.
Colin's Corner. Come on in, boys. Come on to the corner. I got a few for us today. The first one is, I got a question for you guys. I'm going to give you the question, then I'm going to preface it. Mm-hmm. How hard should you push your kids? How hard? Specifically, I'm specifically talking of like workouts, working hard. You can morph this into like training for a sport, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, my son, my oldest son is 10, Murph, and he's been wanting to do workouts. I worked out off and on with him like last year, I'd say. And now it's like, dude, consistency is key. We got to get into it. So half the time he works out with me, half the time if I got to go early to work or football for high school or whatever, I set him up with a workout. He knocks it out. He's good at it. He loves it. However, like there's been my wife was saying like, just last week, we worked out together, and I just beat the brakes off him, like pounded him into the dirt with how hard we were working. I work out side by side. It's the same exact workout, but you know, like he can do like 8 push-ups. I do 20, you know, that kind of thing. But it's the same workout. So we're both just beat, and he's like kind of like. You know, towards the end, like kind of feeling sorry for himself. And I'm like, just like coaching him through it. Like, dude, this is where you, this is the weakness you got to get rid of. You got to push through this. This is how you get stronger, And he kept going, and he loved it. But then, like, he's getting a shower. He's like, hey, go get a shower. I'll cook you some eggs, whatever. I go in. He's, like, kind of, like, whimpering, crying, like, sitting on the bottom of the shower. Like, I broke him. Like, he was just, like, I can't. That was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I was, like, good for me. I was also, like, dang, did I go too far? How was this too much?
Yeah.
The next day, he wakes up. He's like, let's get it, Dad. And we go again. And I beat him down again. And then the next day, he wakes up. So I'm like, we're breaking down walls. So in my head, I was like, I think you could look at that. Like, that's way too far. I pushed him too hard. But you look on the backside of that, only 3 days later, he's now done it to himself again twice.
Sure.
And he's, I think he's better for it. Just mentally, mental fortitude, of course, also with physically, you know, physical strength and everything. So how do you guys feel about that?
I think when it comes
don't call me into child services.
Yeah, CPS. yeah. So I think you push them as hard as their goals require, right? So what do you want to do with this, right? Is this just something that you want to do? Like, just like you're playing football, whatever.
Yeah.
Baseball, whatever. What's your goal for this? It's like, you just want to play for now and it's fun. That's great. I'll push you as hard as it's going to take to meet that goal. Do you want to play in high school? Great. I'll push you as hard as you want to, as you need to be pushed to meet that goal.
Yeah.
Do you want to play at a higher level than that? Do you want to play in college? Okay. I'm going to push you as hard as it needs to meet that goal. Right. So it's their goal. There is what they want to do with them, with their, whatever it is, right? Whatever they want to be. And I'm like, okay, if that is your goal, then this is how hard you have to work.
Yes.
And like, so that these are not, you cannot just do, you can't just want this goal. You can't want to play in the NBA and not want to do this.
Right.
Right. Period. Right. This is what it requires. This is what it requires to meet that goal.
I agree with you 100%. You got to meet that. Cause we say, I have that conversation with our kids. It's like, dude, do you just want to go play rec ball and not practice extra? That's easier for us, bro. Sure. We will do that. Sure. Like, that's fine. But they, oh, we want to do, okay, so we got to work. And a lot of times our kids will like show the want to want to work out more. But I'm also thinking that this is not even goal specific for a sport. I'm thinking of like it started out that way. I think now though, I think of it more as mental fortitude. Like, you're going to have to do hard stuff in your life.
True.
You're going to have to be a hardened individual if you're going to want to do anything in life, you know, or else you'll just always have like the minimum wage 9 to 5 because that's easy and you don't have to worry about it. And but like, that's not what I want for my kids. So I've even talked to Teresa about like all my kids are going to work out all at some point, whether they're athletes or not. They're all going to work out. Some might work out more than others, but I've started thinking I'm going to want to make my kids do very intense, tough things. And I these last few days, I specifically waited to work out till like 12:30. So it's really hot. So like that adds even, you know, another element of this sucks, embrace the suck, get through it. Now you're better for it on the other side. You like that or no?
I don't have any problem with it. I'm not sitting here being like, wow, that's abusive.
Yeah.
Like that. Again, I think you have to judge what, you know, each kid individually. We talked about that before.
Right? Yeah. You can't treat them all the same. I think that's for sure true. It's like my next one in line, Reagan, I think she'll go probably harder than Murph will without even being having to be pushed. So it's going to like another level is going to be, and the next one in line is going to be way lower of a bar just because of how she is mentally.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it depends on the kid. I think it depends, like Dave said, what you're training for, what your goals are. There's a lot of different things or aspects involved with it. How old they are, whatever it is they're doing at that moment in time. But if he wants to do that right now at, you know, at 10 and he's showing back up and he's showing interest in it.
Yeah.
And he's not quitting or just not telling you like, I hate this, or even give him that space. Like, hey, dude, if you hate this, like, you don't have to do it, but if you're going to be in here, I'm with you in the fact that, hey, if you want to come out here and do it, we're going to do it. We're not doing it a quarter of the way. Yeah. We're not doing it half the way. We're doing it all the way. So just knowing what you're signing up for, and if you're going to show up back every day and I'm not forcing you to do it, yeah, by all means. Yeah. That means he can handle it, he can take it, and he's ready. And yeah, you're testing his mental strength and how far he can go and everything. But
It is also pretty cool, the bonding. I feel like we both had our shirts off. Mm-hmm. we dap each other up, and it's just like, man, that was hard. And I'm like, can't catch my breath. I'm like, dude, that was so hard. And like, I don't know. I just felt it was that's pretty cool. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I still, even if my kids don't want to do it, I have decided maybe it's only once a week for this kid that doesn't want to do any sports or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna do something hard. Like and it might just be like, here, carry this 25-pound plate to your grandma's house. Mm-hmm. Don't stop till you get there.
Yeah.
You know, like that sucks, but now you know you can do it kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, well, I appreciate the support, guys.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. As again, like my biggest thing is like, you want to do, what do you want to do, right? I just want to know where you want to go. I'm gonna get you there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If where you want to go is I want to play at the YMCA and have a good time. Fine, we'll go out and shoot 10 hoops and you know dribble around and like do and do it like once a week and call it good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, if you want to play in college,
you're gonna have to go.
You're gonna be 6 foot maybe.
Right.
We're gonna have to have a bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have a deep bag to get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of tricks.
One thing I will say, I stopped my son from doing it, and I write in his tracks, you know, and I heard it, you know, when you guys probably heard it when you're a kid and stuff like that too, growing up, was, you know, there's a kid we were playing basketball against, and dude shot the lights out, right? And he, after the game, is like, oh, I don't know where he got it from, but he's like, oh, his family's rich and that's why he's like so good or whatever. And I'm like, dude, that kid at like, he probably shot like 75% from three in like fourth grade or whatever. Right. And I'm like, you can't fake shooting. Right. You can't fake it. Like
who cares if he's rich?
You get a lucky shot here and then, or whatever. I'm like, no, that kid could be.
Or is he saying, cause his parents could afford a like trainer
training and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, dude, that kid goes out and I guarantee you shoots probably 100 shots a day at least. At minimum,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You could be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you don't have to be rich. So like that's just all.
Yeah.
That's just all will and, you know, be consistency and everything, you know?
So, yeah.
But it falls in line with that stuff. It's like, oh, you want to be strong as that kid? Well,
okay.
You gotta go.
Yeah. Let's get it.
Mm-hmm. Like, like what Dave's saying, if you want to be that kid, here's the amount of work you gotta be that kid. It ain't because, you know, his parents are doctors or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of people who've come from nothing. Some of the best players ever, you know.
I think arguably sports. More of them come from.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, like Kobe. It's a great story. Kobe Bryant, every day, 4 a.m. or whatever it was, 1,000 shots.
Yeah.
First thing he did before he did anything else, 1,000 shots. Then he started his whole day of practice and conditioning and all this. You know what I mean? It's just like.
That's why.
Why is he one of the best tough shot makers in the history of the game? That's why.
Yeah.
Dude, that's why I love QB on Netflix.
And yeah.
Starting Five on Netflix also, or The Court of Gold or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just love the insight where it shows these guys like the amount of work they do every day before a game starts. Like it's incredible, right? Because like this is their profession. They're at the top of it. And I love the kids seeing that because kids are just like, you know, oh, like, you know, that's Patrick Mahomes. He's just really talented.
Sure. They see the Sunday. Yes.
They see the Sunday Patrick Mahomes. They don't see Patrick Mahomes until you see some of the series.
Dude, speaking of that quarterback, you know, it's pretty cool. We were watching it and Teresa was in and out. And I was watching it with Murph and they had like one of the wives or girlfriends was like reading plays. It was Jared Goff's wife or girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like reading plays and he's got to repeat it. So he like get the verbiage out better. And Teresa came in and saw. She's like, "Oh, me and your dad used to do that." And Murray was like, "What?" Because like I would have I played defense, so I'd have my scouting breakdown of like when 18 comes. So she'd be like, "All right, number 18." I'm like, "All right, well, he's an H-back. When they come in, they're gonna run a king set right, and they run a lot of this or that." She's like, "Okay, yeah." And we would do that. And Murphy's just like, "Mom, you would do that?"
Yeah,
like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So it's just like it's like a full circle thing. It's pretty fun.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Yeah. All right, I got one more for us. Actually, you inspired me on this one. Dads watching their children versus dads and moms watching the children. So like we were at a baseball game, we were watching our girls play softball, all of our girls play softball on the same team, little coach pitch team. and like we're all guilty of it, but I just watched it. You do it.
Yeah.
Where we're all talking and watching the game and cheering, and then you'd be like, Zoe, I gotta go find Zoe. Oh, okay, there she is, and bring her back.
Yeah.
Here's some stuff. Watch the game. Versus like, I know when I'm when my wife is there and my kids are there, I'm watching my wife watch the game, watch the kids. So I know like when she looks over at me, I don't look like the dad that's just like watching the game. I look like I'm involved, like, oh yeah. Hey, I got eyes on this one. Hey, she's over there.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I got way more kids, but it's also the same, like you can't be like just or God forbid you get into the game and your kids get into something and like, can I get some help over? You're like, oh man, I dropped the ball, dude. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough. Cause yeah, my radar for scanning for the kids is a lot less than my wife's. Do it. You know, you do the scan, you got that timer in your head. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, all right, yeah. Every like 30 seconds or so, you're like, all right, where's she at? Cause she's cool.
30 seconds,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. Is 30 seconds too long?
No,
too short.
No, that's fine. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's way too short.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could argue, but you for sure are not scanning every 30 seconds.
I start out.
You start out hot. He's got a hot bat, and then pretty soon.
And then the 30 turns into more, especially we're getting into banter.
It's like once an inning, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know that one's bad. I got called out for that one.
That's funny.
I'm saying
we're not talking about it here, so you can hear it again.
I'm terrible at this.
Yeah.
Like I'm very bad at switching between tasks, extremely bad at it. And my wife tells me all the time, like, multitasking is not my thing.
Really?
I lock in to something and like, that's it. Everything else is gone.
Yeah.
Like it's 100%. Well, but luckily for me, my youngest is 6. So it's like
pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah. Like I'm not worried. And I'm kind of past that where I'm like, I'm not worried. She's not going to walk off. She knows which I, you know what I mean? And then, you know, so I got 11, 9, and 6.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all going to be fine.
Your biggest concern is like someone's going to steal your kid and your kid's going to yell at that. You know,
yeah. I mean, yeah. That's.
It is funny though. Like as they can walk, you're, as I mentioned, like that radar beep in your head.
Yeah.
It does get longer, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, cause you got like your 2-year-old and it's like, you can't really take, you're like a 1 to 2-year-old. You can't like take your eyes off them at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you get like a 3-year-old like me the other day. And I was like, all right, I'll give her like 30 seconds here. And then, you know, you got 4 or 5, like Dave said, 6, 7.
Oh, yeah.
It turns into like, all right, every 5 minutes, I'll just see how they're doing.
Yeah.
You got like a 10-year-old, you're like, unless he's coming to me.
Dude, yeah. My 10-year-old, bro, kick rocks for an hour and a half. I don't care what you do.
Literally, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know where I am really good at it, though? And it comes because I'm anxious of like kids drowning in the pool.
Pool.
I scan probably, I'm probably annoying to be around with other adults in the pool. Because I'm like talking, I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I just make a quick count. I got 5. Okay, good.
Yeah.
And if I don't get 5, I'm instantly like, Teresa knows. She sees, because she knows I don't have very much anxiety, but for some reason, I had kids like drowning in the pools.
Not for some reason. You have a story.
Well, yeah, but even before Rory had like a scare,
yeah,
I was still.
No, but what, you though? Yourself.
Oh, yeah. I almost drowned in a pool. But I guess so. Maybe like deep seated.
I think that's
maybe
something.
It's some deep seated stuff in there.
Something.
Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, I almost drowned when I was like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if I don't see if I can only count 4 and I don't know where my 5th one is,
yeah.
I'm instantly just breaking away like, hey, Teresa, where's, and she's like, I got him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and she doesn't even tell me like, hey, just relax. And she knows like, dude, I'm on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can be drinking a beer, whatever. I'm still just like locked.
The pool is way less stressful when your kids get older and they can swim and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's very.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
It's a lot nicer when you go to the pool and you got older ones and you're just like, all right,
yeah, for sure.
I'm just going to kick it here. And
the one that scares me is the tweener. Like my, I got one of my kids who's like, thinks she can swim. But she can't really swim great, you know?
Yeah.
Or like the other day, where it was with your youngest and Reagan, Keely and Reagan, they're swimming. And Reagan's like, can I take my... I'm like, babe, fine. Okay. But you can't pass this thing. Well, like both of like Keely's way better than Reagan, but she still gets tired. So like she swim over and like lean on Reagan for like a breath. And Reagan, I have her floating on. It's like Reagan's sinking. And she's like, Dad, Keely's trying to drown. I'm like... Babe, no, like you guys both just need to go over there and just hang out over there. Just stay over there. Like that one always gets me too, because it's like Yeah, like with Murph, I'm pretty much just like, I check on it. Like, same 100%. Thing. I'm yeah. counting in, but I'm not that worried about uh-huh. it.
Yeah.
Because I remember last week we had all those games, multiple games. You had no kids there.
Yes.
At all. You're by yourself.
Oh, and gorgeous.
You were so like, you're like, I'm just like.
Oh, it was sick.
It's like, I'm so weightless.
Oh, it was great.
You get out of your car and you're not like taking anything.
Bro.
You're like, oh, I stepped out of my driver's door and I didn't have to get anything else out. You're like,
yes.
You're opening the back hatch. You're like, oh, I guess I'm here, dog. Back here.
Like, yeah.
Dude, again, like, our youngest is six. Like, we don't take stuff most places.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that first time, like, we like, you know, we've got the diaper bag, right?
Yeah, you're like,
that first time we're like, we don't need this.
Yeah. Dude. we did that for the first time in a while this weekend. We went to Dude Perfect, the live show, uh-huh. and we took our oldest three kids.
Yeah.
And we parked and I was like, hey guys, we gotta walk like two blocks to the arena. We just got out and started walking. Yeah. And I was just like, I at first was like, does everyone have their shoes on? Well, you guys are all old enough.
Yeah, of course.
This is nice, dude.
There's some milestones, man.
Oh, like, yeah.
This is getting cool.
Yeah.
Man. I like this.
Yeah.
So the movie this week was Matt's pick. And what was it again, Matt?
This week is Silver Linings Playbook.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
Chris Tucker. Which is, I was like, is that Chris Tucker?
De Niro.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro. Chris Tucker, this was his first film since like Rush Hour 3.
Yeah.
He was out of the game for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Still looking good.
Still funny.
Yeah, he's funny.
Like he was really good in this movie.
He has a very unique voice. I feel like he sounds exactly.
You didn't put it on this, man.
Is he in Friday?
Yeah.
In
the first Friday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's not in the next two.
He's that iconic scene where they're like,
Him
and Ice Cube. Honestly?
Him and Ice Cube. Yeah. No, he's not in the next two because he didn't want to be. I think he like was like got real religious or something, and he didn't want to be associated with like weed and.
Gotcha.
So he stepped back.
He passed out some paychecks there.
Yeah. So they brought in Day Day, dude, which is arguably he was just as good. Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about that later. Anyways, Silver Linings Playbook. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we went back to back war movies. And so I figured this was a time to maybe break off into, this is considered a comedy. So it came out in 2008, is based off of a, 2012, sorry, is based off a 2008 novel, a book. This budget for this was $21 million and it did $236 million.
Killed it, dude.
Smashed.
Do actors, their contracts, do they get like salaried or do they get percentages? How does that work?
Some of them, some of them that's in their negotiating.
So you just negotiate like, hey, I want 1% of this or whatever.
Yeah, they call it like royalty or something. But yeah, they'll get like a percentage of the global. And that's like, but I think that's like the big stars. Like that's like
The Rock.
That's like a Tom Cruise or The Rock or somebody like that.
You don't think Bradley Cooper's pulling that?
I'll probably. He probably got that name.
All right.
But so this movie nominated for 8 Academy Awards. It was the first film in 30 years that was nominated in all 4 major categories. So Best Picture, Director, Actor, and Actress.
Wow.
Yeah. Director, David O. Russell. Well, you want to hear some of his other ones that he's done?
Sure.
Here we go. 3 Kings. Nothing. The Fighter.
Yep.
American Hustle.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and he wrote this movie based off of his own son, who also struggles with bipolar.
Okay. I thought you said it was off a novel.
Yeah, but I mean, he accepted to take on the role or take on the movie because of that fact.
Oh, okay.
And put his own spin and twist on it.
Yeah,
because of that relationship
that's tight.
Or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, so I thought that was
so. He
cool.
What was his son? I guess. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. You mentioned, so Jennifer Lawrence, won the Academy Award for Best Actress for this at 22. Yeah.
What about Bradley Cooper?
He was nominated, didn't win.
I thought he was pretty good. Who won it that year? Do you know? Did you write that down?
I didn't write that down. Dang.
I'd like to know.
You caught me.
What year was this?
2012. While Dave's looking that up, Mark Wahlberg was originally the person in mind for the role.
Dude, I could see Marky Mark pulling this off, but Bradley Cooper for sure knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I could see Mark Wahlberg doing it too, but it's hard with he killed it.
If it was like centered in Boston, maybe, but
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a little further away because it's like if it was Boston, he would have already had it.
Because Bradley Cooper's like a Philly guy, anyways.
He
right?
is. Yeah. In the stands at the Super Bowl.
Right. Right. In the stands. Yeah. So he knew. Like he's like, this is how people are.
Here. He's got his own Philly cheesesteak like food truck and stuff that I've seen him do.
That's not real.
That's real. Look it up. I don't know what it's called. Cooper's.
He just hires people to cook cheesesteaks.
Well, I've seen him. I've seen videos of him, and they're like serving them up to people and stuff. But it's probably like one of those like he showed up for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
Sign some autographs.
Yeah. De Niro was nominated as best supporting actor in this too. Just by the way. So yeah, that's my facts of the movie, and let's get into it. What
let's
you,
get
Colin?
Into
it. Did you watch this before?
I had seen like 10 minutes of it. So I was just like, this is not my cup of tea. I don't, it's whatever.
This is one of my picks where I'm like, dude, Colin's got it has football. It has gambling.
It was a banger.
It has crazy Philly people that are going back and forth yelling at each other and stuff, like dysfunction.
I will say, when you first sent this out, I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to watch this. It is a banger, dude.
Yeah.
I'd give that movie like a 9.2.
Yeah,
9.1.
It was.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I have a lot of questions, like actual questions for Dave, like in like how this is in real life.
Yeah,
but it is wild because like just how he refuses to take his pills. I'm way clear on this.
Yeah,
I also thought it painted a good picture of like people with mental illness, like bipolar, whatever, like how. He did a good job of showing how he's in a cage. Mm-hmm. Like he knows like, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to freak. And he knows like, I don't want to go to the game because when I'm at the game, this happens. And he's like fighting it. And then just like, nope, can't. This is the other side pops out.
Yeah.
And just starts like whooping ass. It's just, or anything, you know, he's talking to his mom about taking his meds or whatever. And he knows like he's not lying to her, but he's telling her why. And she's like, what? But you just got to take your meds.
Yeah.
You know, it's way easier on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
I had an aunt who was bipolar schizophrenic. And it like, I wasn't around her a lot because like, for obvious reasons, like, you know, young kids and it is like tough. But
yeah,
we'd see every now and then. And it was just like, you just never knew which aunt you were going to get kind of thing. So I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Also just like, the degenerate gambling aspect of it was wild. And it's crazy because you actually, like, I love to gamble. Those guys are like, and there's people out there that live like this.
That
dude.
Are betting
it's
their livelihood.
Insane to me.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I like that, but it was, I'm just like, holy cow, dude.
Yeah. So I too would want to get Dave's perspective on it. And this is one of the reasons why I chose this movie because I'm like, all right, I know Colin's going to love it because all the aspects in it. Two, I want to get Dave's take on some of these things because if you didn't know, he's in school for
mental health counseling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before what was Jennifer Lawrence's deal?
So she just had severe depression.
That's it. She seemed a little off
the
rocker too.
Maybe sex addiction at one point. Even though actually they took that out of the DSM. That's not. Actually
but she was like kind of meeting crazy with crazy.
Yeah, I think she was a little like crazy in general in terms of like just social, like the way she behaved socially. Mm-hmm. But I think it was more tapped into with her depression and she went down the road. Mm-hmm.
I just remember this. I love how blunt and brutally honest he was, and like she could match that energy.
Yeah, they both were. Yeah.
She's like, hey, do you want this? No, I'm just thinking of my ex-wife right now. I'm gonna get her back. Like,
yes,
anything. Yeah, it's just like she's like, dude. Why would you lie to me? He's like, well, why would I lie to you about it? You know, just I just like
one of the things
that
made me laugh so much in the movie was every time he talked about her dead husband. They're in the house and she's showing up and he's like, hey, her husband died or whatever, but like, don't talk about her or bring it up. And he's like, okay. And then she's like, don't talk about what? And he's just like, hey, you look really nice. How'd your husband die? It's like right off the bat.
Yeah, dude.
You said is it classified as a comedy?
It's like a
for real?
Dark.
See,
I didn't think it was. I think there was funny
movie,
parts.
But I don't think it's anywhere close to a comedy.
I didn't know it was a comedy either. I thought it was like just a drama.
Okay.
Talk
okay.
Amongst yourself.
Yeah.
And there's funny stuff in it.
Yeah.
Right. There's laughter, but it's not a comedy.
It's the point of the show is to make you laugh.
Yeah.
No. Right. There might be a side. I did look it up. Daniel Day-Lewis. Won the Oscar
for
best actor for playing Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln.
Can't beat that.
Have you seen Lincoln? Gangs of New York?
That's hard to beat. Yes, I have.
Yeah, I have seen that.
But I also seen Lincoln, and Lincoln is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, you can't get more main character, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's a tough. And Daniel Day-Lewis is pretty freaking good.
Yeah. That's Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, right? They're like, someone's just got to win it. Yeah. Someone's going to lose it.
This is classified as a romantic comedy.
Really?
Yeah. I have seen it. It's like a dark comedy.
Okay.
But I like, for the fact that film that like they go into these mental health issues, and instead of making it like very depressed, like it can be for a lot of people that struggle with this, they make it humorous. They put you in that light, but they also give you the humorous side. But that was also one of the questions I was going to bring up too, to you guys, that I saw in there was, did they do a good job? Did they dumb down these illnesses and make light of them and not get into the severity of that? You know what I mean? Did they dilute?
No, I don't think they diluted them. No, I think I like the betrayal of the mental illness in the show. Mm-hmm. You can even say like the dad had like some OCD tendencies with his remotes and like, and I need you sitting here and the handkerchief and like obsessed with the Eagles, obsessed, like all that stuff. And gambling addiction is actually a diagnosis as well. That is actually a diagnosis in the DSM. It is.
Hmm.
And I think it made it very realistic, because sometimes they can go too far in one way. Right, they can minimize it, but they also can go too far in the other way, where see like, oh, this person is just absolutely nuts and insane and way out there. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, this is a real, like this person in the show is like, I could know this guy, like I could know this person struggling, struggling everyday life, where they, you know, it's not some kind of like way out there psychopath, you know what I mean? Where sometimes they do it that way too, they put it so far to one end. They maximize it instead of minimizing it, right? I think they did a perfect sweet spot on this one of like, this is a real person. They're struggling with real things. And to top it off, they both went through some traumatic events.
Yeah.
Some traumatic events where like he walked in on his wife, walked in on them, right? Like cheating, right?
Mm-hmm. Bro.
And then her wife or her husband gets killed. It's like killed by a, like trying to help somebody or whatever. Yeah. I think she was like helping change a tire or something like that. And like a car like kills her. So like they already had issues. And then like on top of that, this like extra layer of like trauma.
Yeah.
That just like exacerbates what was already underneath.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
But again, yeah, I think they did a great job of it. I think that, my biggest critique of this movie is the therapist. Is the therapist himself. So the things he did were extremely unethical.
Uh-huh.
Like so he plays the song.
Yes, 100%. And like he plays that song where he knows this is going to send this person possibly into a violent rage, right? Doesn't, with other people in the waiting room.
I just wanted to know if it was still a trigger.
Yeah, like what? You're not going to do this in some controlled environment, something like that? That's unethical, right? Clearly unethical. Next, unethical thing, like if you meet, you can talk to your clients outside of the session or whatever. And to be fair, like he didn't approach Bradley Cooper's character.
Yeah.
He didn't approach Pat. Pat approached him. It's like Dr. So-and-so. He's like, Pat, whatever. Hey, good to see you. But like that relationship should not be that friendly. It should not be that friendly outside of the session.
Yeah, but that's not his fault, right? That's just that's Bradley Cooper's like very friendly with that guy. Like you're not going to be like, hey, we shouldn't be talking.
No, for sure. But like, he goes to his house afterwards, right?
Yeah. Oh,
remember,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, even then, like, hey, it's like, hey, good to see you. How you doing? How are things going? Great. And that's it. Right? Yeah. Like, and then even at the game, like, of course, you're not going to be rude to them and be like, don't talk to me ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, good to see you. Like, yeah, go Eagles. I'm excited about the game. Like, hey, good to see you. And leave.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, that's
movies, though. I mean, throw that in there.
I agree.
Right.
I'm telling you from my perspective. Well,
he even asked him at the Eagles game, like, hey, am I allowed to be talking to you right now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's like, we're brothers or whatever, and the Eagles or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
That's one of my favorite scenes, too, when they go back to the house after they get in that fight or whatever, and the brother still got his shirt off. You know? It's just like a bunch of like high school kids that just got in trouble.
Yeah.
Dude. And then she walks in and the dad's all mad about the juju being thrown off or whatever.
She just rattles off how the Eagles have been winning since she's been there.
Uh-huh. Excelsior.
Yeah. State Excelsior, Pat.
And his tune completely changes. That's right, De Niro's character, his dad. He's like, yeah, he hated her. He's like, oh, I love you now. Like, literally, because all he cares about is the Eagles. That's the Eagles, it. Right. Nothing else matters. Like, literally. So as soon as he figured out that, yeah, you know what? That makes sense. They did win. Great. We're best friends. I want you to be here every, you know, I'm going to figure this out.
You're good for Pat.
Yeah, exactly.
Did that scene hit you in the feels when he sits down with him in the morning or whatever, the moment he's like talking to him about, he's like, hey, you got to come down, watch the game with me. And then he tells him, like, I want to spend more time with you. I didn't spend enough time with you in his own way or whatever. Mm-hmm. Did that get you in your feels at all?
No, that did not, because to me, that was him just manipulating, like, I need you here.
I took it like that.
Yeah, you need to be sitting next to me because you're a good luck charm. Mm-hmm. Mm. And he's just manipulating his son, being like, I want to hang out with you, and we bond over the Eagles.
Yeah.
I thought it was manipulation.
I don't think that's manipulation. I think that he doesn't have a lot of other love languages, and that's just like his one connection point with his son.
I took it as manipulation.
Nah, I didn't take it that way.
How'd you take it?
I don't remember the scene. What?
Like, he's upstairs. Like, he comes and sits on the bed, and he's like, because the mom is like, your dad wants to hang out, like, wants to spend more time with you, whatever, yada, yada. And he comes up, and he's like, hey, I just want to spend more time with you, and we can, you know, I want to go to the games with you, but I'm kicked out of the stadium, so we can watch him here, and you can hold my handkerchief, and, like, and he's like, no, dad, I got a thing I got to do.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's manipulation as well. Yeah. Whoa. I do. Because I really do think that. Like, he doesn't really show the entire movie. He doesn't really, the dad doesn't make any really character development towards, he stays the same, which makes sense. Somebody who's that age, they're not going to make big character personality changes.
Yeah.
Because even at the end, the Eagles win, they beat the Cowboys, right? And now it's like, oh, they won. Now that I beat my bet, now I'm going to go watch.
Right.
Again, he's not like a scumbag, but I don't think he was trying to really connect. I do think he was trying to get him to be with him there in that case. Okay. But I don't know.
We'll agree to disagree.
I do think like I said this before in Crazy Stupid Love, but like the wife gets off the hook again. She gets off the hook again.
Which wife?
His wife. Bradley Cooper's wife.
Yeah.
Dude. Are you kidding me?
You should leave. Like yeah.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, like again, even if he wasn't bipolar, like. Again, like, should you beat the crap out of him? You shouldn't. But is it understandable that you beat the crap out of this person, that you walk in when you're like,
it wouldn't a judge or somebody be like,
is a history professor
100%
in your own house?
In your own house?
He didn't go seeking out for the guy. Like, he didn't drive up to his house and do that. Like,
oh, you're saying the judge would say that? Yeah, 100%. Because
after that event, that's what he lost his job.
Yes.
He had to go live in the psychiatric ward, start taking pills.
Like, I mean, of course, if you beat the crap out of somebody like that. It's not self-defense. You got to get punished. Like, I get it.
But also, isn't there like a temporary rage or something?
Yeah, like insanity. Like, temporary whatever. Insanity. Like, it's not premeditated, anything like that.
Yeah, it just went red, dude.
She gets off scot-free. And again, he is like obsessed with her, like trying to get her back the whole time. But there's nobody in his life who's like, Pat.
She sucks.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Because she's hanging out with her sister, right? That's his, or her sister-in-law. Who is that? The girl that his friends... Introduced her to Jennifer Lawrence's character.
Friends, it was.
I want to say they were sisters, weren't they? Was he sisters? I think I want to say
she
that.
Was sisters with
his ex-wife.
His friend, like his friend, the
yeah,
his wife, the girl that didn't like him, didn't want him in the house, whatever. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence was her sister.
Yeah,
and she was friends with the ex-wife.
Yeah,
so that was the go-to.
Like I just. His friend's not like, yeah, she sucks. That's she did a terrible thing to you. Like, again, like,
I also wonder if that's like they put on like kid gloves. Like, do we have to be gentle about this because of his condition? So, like, don't rock the boat too much. We'll just be like, hey, you know, well, this. Yeah. I was wondering, like, I thought of it like they can't just say, like, dude, she sucks because they know like he's obsessed about his wife or whatever. It's like we got to like put kid gloves on around it and like kind of massage it a different way.
Everyone's like, he was like, it's my fault. I messed everything up. It's my fault. Like, he had all that on himself, where it's like nobody said, bro. Like, cause again, they never said there was any history of like abuse between the two. Like, they fought, right? But there's no evidence in the show, at least that I remember, of them saying he like was abusive to her or anything like that.
Yeah.
It also, I wonder if that's like the Philly aspect of it, of like, dude, just bury your feelings down deep. We're not going to talk about it. Like, you'll figure it out. You're going to white knuckle this thing through the end. Like, we all are white knuckling all our problems.
Yeah.
It's like, figure it out. You love your wife. You're going to, okay, fine. Do it, dude. You're a moron. You don't want to do, like, you want to, like, they're just not going to talk about it. I'm not going to ask you how your wife is. I'm not going to tell you anything. It's like, do what you want to do.
Yeah. But nobody in his family badmouthed her. They were all badmouthing him about like trying to make contact with her just because he would like violate.
Yeah, you
know, that is orders. Where I'd be like, dude,
like, why are you wanting to contact her?
Yeah,
like again, like you might have, again, you're not perfect, and you're trying to work on yourself. Like he obviously is, right? Obviously trying to make things better. There's no reason to go back to her. Like I get it, I understand, right. But like it's easier said than done. But nobody in his life, nobody in his life. Again, she comes off scot-free, and I hate that. That makes me so angry that she comes off completely scot-free. Nobody, she gets zero hate from anybody in the entire movie.
I didn't really think about it. I know you have. I like that. You
I
have
never
affinity
that.
For that.
Yeah,
because I didn't really it wasn't a big part of the movie for me. But I also, if I was like in that guy's life, I feel like I thought about this. Like the way I would have tried to reach him about like to just drop it is I would like, you got to get in his mode. Like he's Excelsior, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
I'd go like do some research. Like what's the opposite of Excelsior? What's the, and just and be dropping like, bro, she's Hades. Like that's Hades. Like that's where you came from. And he's like, Hades. Like, yeah, it's the opposite of whatever, you know, whatever
yeah,
it is.
Whatever it is. Sure, yeah.
And he's just like, you get him to start thinking that way instead of, because I feel like he's just one of those guys. You tell him something and he's just like shark eyes, like, dude, whatever. I'm moving on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you gotta talk his language.
I'm telling you, this is a common theme in movies. It's a common theme. When women cheat, they do not get any garbage for it. It's just like it's always like, oh well, he was treating you bad. He was doing this, he was doing that. You're fine. Like, no, dude. You slept with a coworker. You took a shower with a coworker in his house to your wedding song. Your wedding song was on.
That part was.
You are a terrible human being. Period.
That's wild, dude.
Didn't they have like hit their wedding thing like the DVD or something playing on the TV?
I can't remember. I know he came out. He was looking for his DVD.
I know the song was playing,
and the mom wouldn't give him the wedding.
Well, I'm talking about when he walked in. Then they showed like when he walked in.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, he walked upstairs. There's like a little boom. They showed a little boombox playing, and I guess the CD was in there. I don't know. I assume it's coming out of that.
I remembered it as like the wedding, like their wedding
show
video was on. But like, that's even crazier.
But dude, like in the present, this is the thought process. She brought this guy to their house. She takes out the boombox, takes out the CD, puts it in, plays it, and then gets in the shower with this guy? Come on.
She's great. What? Scum, dude.
And at the end, it's like she shows up and she's just like really happy and looks good. And like no, she gets nothing, no criticism. She gets no negativity. And it's like,
yeah. Well, he bounced on her though.
True. Again, he's like, hey, they don't say what they say.
Whatever. Yeah.
Maybe she just makes nice, like, hey, good to see you. Like, you know.
Yeah,
kind of ends it and then moves on. But again, that's not the same thing.
And
as
he's
being
portrayed as this monster because he goes to the school. Monster.
Yes,
and then the other lady that's there, whatever her name was, the librarian, whoever she is, he's like trying to talk to her, and she's like acting like this dude is BTK or something,
100%.
And she's like clutching.
Well,
her
he's
purse
in the same,
and,
he's in the loony bin. That you can craft whatever narrative you want.
Yeah,
no, for sure. But again, like, how would you react if you were him? You know what I'm saying?
I'd go
like
Hulk mode. Bro.
Again, like,
would you leave like the guy asked you to? He said, you need to leave.
I probably would strangle him in that bath.
But again,
should
you do that?
I'd tell him, hey, you better start running because you're next, bro.
Yeah.
I'm just in a fit of rage.
Yeah. You obviously get to be punished for doing that. There's no doubt. Like, you can't just be hurting people, for no, you know. Like that. I get it in a civilized society. But do we understand? Do we all understand it? Like, do we understand where he's coming from? Like,
totally.
You know what I mean? Like, so.
I could not imagine that ever happening, bro.
Oh,
that's
no.
It's like so insane.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could.
No,
like,
exactly.
It's insane that, like, it happens. Like, that. It's like, this type of stuff for real happens in real life.
Yes.
People have to deal with this in real life.
And I don't think any guy in the world, you could be the most docile, like, loving. I don't think any guy in the world would be prepared for that and to know what they would do in that moment. Because it would break anybody.
It'd break anybody, especially with somebody with bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Like,
how? So let me ask you this question: how often? Because he says in the movie that he was whatever he is in the movie, like 30 years old or whatever, and it was left undiagnosed his whole life until this moment. There were signs, but they just never like got him treated or whatever. How often do you see that, or how often is that a thing where people bipolar is a pretty like that's a bad one. I was gonna say because you'd have early signs that
catch
hey,
it
something's
early.
Not right here.
It could onset at any time though. It could
so you don't have it when you're like 12.
You could.
Okay.
I'm saying it could happen. It could like become apparent different types of
what is, how do you, what is, by how do you get by, how do you, how are you bipolar?
Yeah.
It is a, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak to the specifics because I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly what to say. So I don't want to speak out of turn, but any of these illnesses can come into effect at any time. Right. Remember Balin, Russia Balin show. Yeah. She said like when she was seven or whatever it was, they started seeing some signs, but then like it really didn't kick in heavily till she was this age.
Yeah.
So that's not uncommon to be, to like have it at different points in your life. That's not uncommon.
But like, what is, it's just something's not firing the brain right? Or like what's going, is it a disease that's a deterioration? Do you know?
No, it's not a deterioration. I don't know. I don't know specific. I know it's not a deterioration, but I don't know specifically what it is.
Okay.
I don't think you can't like catch it. Right.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, it's like, oh, he's like, you see like a scan, like, okay, this is a CT scan or something, like, oh, this, he might be bipolar because of this frontal cortex. Da, 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 da.
I don't know. You know what I could do? I have a DSM-5 in my room, in my office. We could pull it out and look it up.
We could look it up.
As long as there's the
DSM. Let's do that post edit, because I do want to know why, how.
Because I still don't know what actual, I was trying to see the definition and stuff, like what it actually is, other than like being crazy, right?
Two personalities, right?
I think my, you know what, hold on. In fact, I have it right here.
Where'd that book come from?
Movie magic, man.
Wow.
Movie magic.
We're trying to figure out how it.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Yeah.
So this is like the Bible of mental disorders.
Did you put all those tabs in there? Does it come with those?
I didn't come with the tabs. You buy those tabs.
Wow.
DSM, they don't give me that for free.
He takes his craft seriously, dude.
Yeah. This makes it easy to find it. So they anyway,
already put those.
It also looks more biblical.
It kind of does, doesn't it? So the show says bipolar. That's all it says.
Yeah.
There's bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. Mm. So basically,
like diabetes.
They're slightly different. But the information about this, you talked about how it was rare, right? And it is, right? It says in here, like bipolar 1 is like 1.5% of the population. And bipolar,
America.
Yeah, of America.
Okay.
And bipolar 2 is like less than 1%.
Okay.
So yes, not rare.
Yeah.
Or not common. So it's defined by having a manic episode, right? So a manic episode is a distinct period of abnormally persistent, elevated, expansive, or irritable mood. Abnormally persistent, increased activity or energy lasting at least 1 week. So an elevated state.
So you fly off the handle, but for a week at a time.
Yeah, for this manic episode, is it lasts at least 1 week. There's multiple criteria.
So he beat the shit out of that dude for a night, and they threw him in the loony bin.
So, but you don't know what, we don't know what happened right after that, though, right?
He could have stayed.
He could have stayed up, right? Yeah.
I'm trying to be respectful. I don't want to say the wrong things.
Yeah. So a manic episode.
Forgive my ignorance.
A manic episode has to last at least a week. You could have a hypomanic episode. That lasts only 4 days, or a major depressive episode, right? And that's the opposite, right? That's why it's bipolar, because we have episodes.
Highs or lows, but it's.
We have highs, we can have very highs, we have very lows, we have combination, or we could have highs elevated and back to normal, right? So they're saying it's two different, you have two different distinct moods that you are like seeing, right?
So
and that's why he's like working out all the time is also another, he's like, dude, you got to not do that, right?
I can't remember what this
was like hyperactivity, right? In there, and just say,
well,
that?
It's this like elevated or expansive, irritable mood, right? So, like,
oh, it's all only
it's,
mood.
It's mood.
I thought there was something about activity.
It did say that, yeah. Abnormally and persistently increased activity or energy.
So, like, could you not go like off the hinges, but you just work out like a demon for a week, and people are like, oh, dude, this is not healthy?
It does say, and you need both of those,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in his case, it was like he energy in terms of like how he's speaking and his actions and stuff he's doing, because you could see in the movie like when he was looking for like their wedding DVD or whatever it was.
Yes, and he like fixated on it.
Wakes him up in the middle of the night, and he's, you know, the scenes too, and he wakes him up in the middle of the night. Crack me up.
Are you shit? He throws Hemingway out the window, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
That was hilarious.
He goes through the whole book.
I think he would be diagnosed as bipolar 2, because I don't think he has any manic episodes, because that's a week long. I didn't see any of that, right? So bipolar 2 is either hypomanic or major depressive. One of those two.
Okay.
And I think I didn't see, we don't see him every single day. It's a movie.
Yeah.
To get the actual diagnosis, you'd have to know like how long the episodes last.
Mm-hmm.
Right. To get, if it's just 4 days, then you say bipolar two. If it's like a week or longer, you can say bipolar one.
And you said which one's the worst one?
Oh, then no, they're just different. I don't think they're worse. I don't think one's worse.
Okay. Yeah, we don't gotta get into the weeds on it. But it is good to know like what is bipolar. Mm-hmm. Dude, how about when they're comparing the medicines they've taken?
That's right.
Like yeah. Zoloft, like yeah, knock me out. Like they're just going through them all. That I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. I've never obviously had to take any of that stuff, but I can't imagine, you know, taking something to alter my mental state and mood or whatever.
Mm.
Like that seems wild, man.
Mm.
You what? Say that again?
Like taking a pill or something that specifically set to alter my mental state and mood. Like, and they talk about makes you like, you know, fuzzy and... I don't know. I can't imagine.
What about beer?
Yeah,
that's alcohol, brother.
Well,
that's weed. That's cocaine. That's all. Yeah, that's all of that.
But not knowing what you're getting into, though.
Yeah,
I guess like you know, first time
or
I
being did. Forced to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's faster.
Also, you take people to drink alcohol for several different reasons. You know,
for sure. I'm, yeah, it's not exactly the same thing,
but when kinda, when you
similar, first, when, I mean, definitely.
Yeah, when he's, I'm glad you caught when you said that. I was like, hold on. We do this quite often.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, people drink alcohol specifically to, like, and explicitly to alter their mental state.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
to forget, to whatever, you know,
to unwind, to relax, to
smoke weed.
Ease up.
I'm a smoke weed guy because I get angry on alcohol. So I smoke weed, I just chill. It's like, either you're altering
your
state.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, some of these are, I'm not exactly the same. Some of these are more intense. They're quick. They happen immediately. You know what I mean? Like, it's not exactly the same, but it's definitely similar for sure. It's definitely not like completely out of the field.
So.
Well, that's kind of why you're talking about like the drugs you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a priest about that because of like weed or like other drugs, like even though they might be legal somewhere, like for the Catholic Church, is like and he was telling me the reason that the Catholic Church accepts like alcohol is because there is, like, I don't know how exactly you put it for lack of, I'm like forgetting now, but like guardrails essentially. Mm-hmm. Like you can have one beer and still be okay. Or like, you know, your limit, like everyone's limit is different, but you know, when I hit 7 beers, I'm buzzing. When I hit 13, I'm like, you know, blacking out, whatever. Versus like weed or cocaine or whatever, any other drug is like one puff might do the trick. And it's, you're specifically doing that to alter your state of mind versus like a beer is like a social thing. You can have a beer, it's social, it's fun. And then you can put the beer down and, I mean, not everyone, but you get what I'm saying. Like the thought is you can just put the beer down and it's fine. And now everything's, you can still operate normally.
Like everything's dose dependent, but there is an amount of alcohol that will do absolutely nothing to you.
Right.
Right. Like there's a, like if you're in a grown adult and you drink, there's a amount of alcohol that you can drink that is like drinking water almost. Like, yeah. Like it's,
look at kids, dude. Kids walk up and they take, you know, their mom or dad's beer or drink, like, and they and kids are like, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, parents are like, okay, like knock that off. Well,
yes.
Whereas if like, hey, what's this baggie of white stuff? And they start sniffing, it'd be, you're going to the hospital. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no guardrails on them.
You drink Drano or something.
Right.
You know, any, like, almost any amount is a hospital visit kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, but you, like, take dad's, like, little hot toddy. It's like, hey, knock that off.
There's also a law that says you can drive at this percentage and it's not zero.
True,
right.
That's true. Right. Yeah, you're right.
Because they've done.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's not zero.
It's not zero.
It's not zero, brother.
Right. It is not zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. But see, you know, some of these laws, now we're off tangents, but it's fine. Some of these laws.
That's what we're here for.
Are like, is it the right thing or is it the thing that we can get away with? You know what I mean? Like, could we even get away with enforcing zero? Like, could we, like, is it even possible to like actually enforce that? Is what I'm saying. Like, so I guess the argument is it's not because any amount's okay. They're not saying that. They're saying like there's impossible to enforce 0.001.
Right.
It'd be like, that'd be a crazy thing. Everybody getting DUIs all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, I have a take. I think, and I know why, if I've said it on here, stop me. I know obviously why you can't do it. I think you should, because the legal limit's 0.08.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you should be able to drink a beer while you're driving.
While you're driving.
If it's, I just got off work, I'm driving home, I'm in stop and go traffic, I have a cold one, I'm drinking it. It's fine. I'm going from 0.0 to 0.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, like, one or two.
What's really the difference of you drinking it right before you got into the car and you drinking it like on the way home?
Yeah, I slugged it. And then,
like,
yeah,
what's actually the difference?
Exactly. I'm just enjoying the beer instead of pounding it. It's like, instead of a Coke, I'm having a beer.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen?
Like, I think you should be able to do that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
There's and like if you get like, hey, is that an open container? Like, yeah, sure. Let's breathalyze it. Let's hit the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. But it's not like
true.
You get a ticket or whatever happens when you have an open container.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's like an old timey news interview that's on social media or whatever, where they're interviewing people, like, I think it, I don't know, early 80s, late 70s or something, whatever the time frame is, when they, I think it was open container.
I think I know where you're going.
I don't think it was, I don't think it was the percentage, but I think it was like, oh, you couldn't have open container in your car. And it's just funny because they interview these people, and this is like the first, you know, time that this is like, it being incorporated, right? It's like having to wear a seatbelt or anything changes, you know, now we think that's crazy. Like, we can't do that. But yeah, it's just funny. They interview like the best people too, because this guy's like, so you're telling me I get off work, I work 10 hours a day, and I just want to have cold beer on the way home, and now I can't do that? I can't do that? What kind of country are you living in now? It's funny because now you're like, if you saw somebody drinking a Miller Lite like, on the, down the road, you're
dude.
Like,
yeah, like, what are you doing? What?
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of people that probably call them in. You know?
Yeah.
On the flip side, Missouri has a sweet law that I'm a huge fan of. I learned of it when I moved out here because we would go – where I went to school was right on the Kansas-Missouri border. When you cross the bridge, Missouri has an open container law. You can have one open container per person in the car minus the driver. So like we'd be going to a Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Whoever's driving has to stay sober.
Yeah.
The minute you hit the bridge, get pulled over.
That's not mine. That's his.
Yeah. You're just hanging out. Talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk. Yeah, dude. I was like, this is not a real law. And I asked a cop one time. I was like, yeah, that's a fact. I'm like, tight. Dude, Missouri, point plus one for you guys.
How do they do that with weed? How do you know?
They can't. That's one of the major issues of why.
Like if you're like a little stoned or.
Yeah. How do you know
that's
you're
the problem?
Two or not.
There's no, it's like it's in your system or not. That's why all these companies back, like, I mean, 5 years ago even, would not allow THC, like they drug test you. You're a forklift driver at Walmart. You can't have THC in your system because I don't know if that was last night, 3 weeks ago, or right before you walked in.
They can be a month.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like, so the rule is you can't have it.
It's just
Like that's what I was like, there's a paper in college someone did, I was in my business class, they were like trying to figure out like a breathalyzer essentially for weed. Cause it's like, having like smoking weed is no different than going home and having a couple beers, you know, for this term of, you know, for what we're talking about.
As far as being impaired to drive.
Yeah. Right. Like I might be impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one says shit. Like there's an alcoholic here. He drinks 18 beers a night and he shows up to work the next day and works and he's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why can't this guy smoke a doobie, smoke a fat one and then go to work the next day? This is, you know, and I was, but the whole point was there's no test.
There's no breathalyzer equivalent where I can test you right now
on
the spot and it's legally held up legally in court. There's nothing like that for weed. They have to bring you back to, they have to like take your pee or your hair or something like that. There's nothing you can do
it
on
to a lab, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have like a working lab in
and again, you're right, there's no way to tell if you're drunk or high now,
right?
That even if you did take that test, it didn't tell you if you're high now. If you have THC in your system for the last month.
And that's a good
point. Which is no use.
Right.
Do you think that comes into play when it comes to states that deny legalizing that?
Absolutely.
What do you think are the aspects of when it comes to states? Because we're in Kansas, we don't even have a medicinal.
No, here. It's not legal. It's not
we're always like the completely last to get legal. Everything.
Yeah, I know we're in Bible Belt or whatever, but what do you think impacts those decisions? Because obviously it's a good, in terms of the state's like revenue and stuff, like it's just something else they can tax and make money off of. But
yeah,
I think it's a lot of religion. There's a lot of lobbying against the devil's lettuce or, you know, stuff like that. I think like liquor lobbies don't want it because like-
That makes sense.
There's a lot of people that are our age that drink- on a consistent basis, responsibly, that would probably smoke weed, responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had the choice, they might choose weed. You know, I don't want to hang or whatever. Like, well, if we just keep it illegal, they're not going to go find a drug dealer.
Yeah,
like they're not. But If it's at the Walgreens, mm-hmm. they'll go get it. So let's just keep out the Walgreens, and they'll just keep buying my beer.
Yeah, I 100% do not want leak to be legalized in any way. I do not want that at all to happen. And one of the reasons is the reason you just gave. You gave the exact reason. One of the reasons why I don't want it. Because being illegal is a barrier. It yeah. prevents tons of people from doing it.
Yes.
Right? If we left this place right now, we could all go buy alcohol. Right now. Mm-hmm. Easily. We didn't think twice about it. We know exactly where to do, where to go to buy it. If we want to let this house and buy weed, I'm not going to put it out anybody, but I would have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
If I wanted to go buy weed right now, I would have no idea.
I got
right?
it. I got it.
yeah. So Colin knows. But like, I would
100% know. Though. Yes.
Maybe you wouldn't know. Maybe most people wouldn't
no,
know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't no know. Idea. That prevents people from doing it.
Yeah.
I don't want my town, my city smelling like marijuana, like New York City, like Boulder, Colorado. You walk around anywhere, it's a skunky smell everywhere.
Dude.
It's terrible.
You know what's wild? I took Murph to a Chiefs game preseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rolled up. We're there 2 hours. We're there yeah. as early as you can so Murph mm-hmm. could do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Weed everywhere, dude. And like Murph's like, what does that smell like? There's skunks all over this place.
I'm yeah.
I'm like, yeah, dude, it's, yeah. You know, he just, I was like, yeah, it's no big deal. Come on, let's get
I feel going. Like that's something, like, because they're letting people out of prison with mm-hmm. those charges. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like that's coming at some point here.
I am
everywhere.
Team weed. I think weed should be legal. But mm-hmm. I also, the barriers of it being illegal, I like way more, especially for young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't like how normalized it's be like at the Chiefs game, you know?
Exactly.
I'm not prepared to have that conversation with my 10-year-old right now.
And I appreciate that because that's my exact second point of my why I don't want it legalized, because when it's legalized, it gets the social stamp of approval.
Yes.
Right? So as soon as like, if I brought, and this goes to more extreme, let's go to like cocaine or something, to me, just like really elevate the point. If I came to a Christmas party, right, with my family or like friends getting together, somebody brings a bottle of wine. It's like, oh, great. Somebody brought some wine. Nobody thinks about it tonight. Nobody thinks anything weird. Same dinner party. Somebody brings some cocaine. Everyone was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Everyone was like, what are you doing?
Right.
And even weed, right? You know, some people might be okay with it, but you for sure in certain groups, they'd be like, what is that?
Right.
Why are you bringing that here?
Right.
Yeah.
And as soon as it's legal, now it's that stamp of approval where now it'll eventually become perfectly fine to be like, just bring it like you would to any event that you would have alcohol. And I don't want it there. I don't want weed there. I don't want people smoking weed. Like, it's around me. And, like, I can't say anything to them because they're like, oh, well, hey, like, whatever, dude. It's legal. Like, you're old fuddy-duddy because you don't like weed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I guess that's... Hmm. So, those are two reasons.
But
the first one is...
against, like, the smell or the, like...
Well...
Because, I mean, there's other ways to consume it.
That's true. I mean, the smell is one thing, for okay. sure.
I just didn't know if that was your...
That's true. That is a big one. Because, like, you can drive... People will drive by you. And you just, they just like, it's like a freaking waft yeah. coming out of their
I
car.
Like that. I like that smell. But I will also say, another part of legalization, like I said, I'm team weed, but because I've seen it do some good things, whatever else. We can get into that later. Sorry. I don't like how there's like edibles or like they have Cokes now, like mm-hmm. beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you can just have it in your fridge and then your kid pounds a Coke. You know, thinks there's a, hey, I found some chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just zooted for hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because even if you are going to be if mm-hmm. you responsibly consume it,
mm-hmm.
you might not have the same care of your weed just like putting it on my counter and my kid comes out and grab, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's illegal, you better keep that shit in your pocket, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, however you think of it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, for that regard, though, I mean, they could still go in there and get a Bud Light or something, too, and have the same effect on them. Well.
No, it wouldn't.
Now I say it out loud. A Bud Light versus like a 50 milligram.
Or a 10 milligram or a 5 milligram.
Yeah.
There's no guardrails.
Like,
plus,
yeah.
also, you take a piece of chocolate that's got 10 milligrams in it and you eat it. You don't have to tell anybody. You just keep playing. You're outside playing basketball with mm-hmm. your friends. You just all of a sudden you feel funny. Mm-hmm. Versus like your kid, he can't chug a Bud Light. Like the chances are, like he's sneaking mm-hmm. around to do that. Or like if he just finds it and like just say the same scenario, you just find a Bud Light and you're just walking around. Like someone's like, yo, what is, give me that beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus the chocolate, just it's gone, bro.
Yeah, and they wouldn't even have to be sneaky. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're like, oh, this is chocolate.
They literally just be like, this, I ate my chocolate. Right. I just got chocolate. And then the other kid's like, I want chocolate. Where's the chocolate? You're like, yeah, where was this chocolate?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys think that will be legalized, like, probably in every state?
Yeah, probably. It will.
At some point?
It will.
Probably. And I just don't think it's good. Like, I guess, then where do we draw the line then? Where things that should be legal, like what else? Like, okay, so like now weed's been legal for a while.
Look at Portland, dude. Don't they got like meth, all that shit? You can, you know.
Well, some stuff is like legalized, and some stuff is decriminalized.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, like, I guess it might be decriminalized.
So it's not like it's legal to do it. Like, you can't like sell it at the store. You know what I mean? It's not legal to do that.
Yeah.
But if you find it, we're not gonna
in the trash.
Punish you for having it. I guess is the difference between legal and like decriminalized. Is my understanding.
What was the original question?
I don't know, but this is a good conversation as well.
Yeah,
like it's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. Back to our movie.
Back to the movie.
Let's wrap that up. What was your rating and what was your overall thoughts on the movie? Good, bad.
This is a good movie.
In between,
I liked it a lot. I was like invested the whole time. There's multiple people in this movie that I want to like. I'm rooting for.
Yeah,
like that I want to see succeed.
It's a feel good movie.
100%. Like there's like people in this movie that I'm rooting for. I want to see them succeed. I'm glad that they're like it ends up well for them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was very, and it's kind of weird because it's not tons of stuff happening, right? It's not like it's like a bit, it's no like major events or any like major climaxes or anything like that.
I'm glad you brought that up because
I just thought of my next movie.
In the book, in the book, they didn't have the dance scene.
So that
wasn't part of it. The book was also more centered on the mental illness itself.
Okay.
So it was a little like darker or whatever. This one was a lot more lighthearted.
Time out. Dance scene.
Yeah.
I love how, like, whether it's bipolar, whether it's just his personality, he just threw himself into it. Could care less. Like, a normal human is like, we're going to stop this and play, like, some garage band music and just jump around like idiots and then get back to bar. Like, that's not it. But, like, both their personalities were, let's do that.
Yeah.
And they gave it 100%. I think that was pretty sick.
I think for the movie, it made it great, right? There was a build up, like it led to that, and it was like, the book didn't have that at all. So
it was a good climax because it needed it.
Yes.
It's kind of like, where's this building to? Like, what's the big event here that's gonna like happen? Yeah, it was good. So my rating, 8.2.
Ooh,
okay,
8.2.
I'd go on.
I can ride with that.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I liked it.
Good.
Which is the third highest rating that I've given for the movies.
Okay.
And it brings Matt's score to 7.6 on average.
All right.
So
what's my score on average?
Colin's at 6.68. So
7.2 to 6.8.
But you're close.
Am I moving up on him though?
You are.
Okay.
Right. There's always like that where, because Matt was first, so he has one extra.
So you're gonna throw your movie out right now?
No, we'll save it
for the teaser.
We'll save it.
Okay.
Well, that's it.
That's it. We're wrapping
it
up.
That's it for the new format, guys.
Wrap it up, movie. Guys.
Yeah.
But again, if you haven't liked the video, like it. If you haven't, subscribe if you're new. And then next week, we're hit our top five.
Boom.
Anything else, boys?
Deuces.
That's it.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Why are you always singling me out?
I'm just waiting for something dumb to come,
like,
dude.
I could do anything. I can do a backflip and he'd be like, dude, you got to tuck in tighter.
I'm swimming in I'm rent free up in your head, bro.
I know.
You did that and you looked at
every
me right
time
away.
It
I'm
bothers,
like, yeah,
and I was like, all right, I'm not going to do anything. And then the minute I loosened up, it was just like, what are you
damned doing, if man? You do, damned if you don't, brother.